If you ever felt like you had a long day, there's one day in the Chumash which is a really long day. It's a day which is in this week's Parsha Neso. But what's interesting, it also comes in some other Parsha, which is actually what makes it so long. It's the day that they consecrated the Mishkan. This week we're told of 12 days. Those 12 days were the Nasi'im, the heads of each of the tribes, would bring their offerings. The first day, we're told, from the tribe of Yehuda, from Judah, is Nachshon ben Aminadav. That day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, those of us who remember, that same day was actually written in a previous book. It was written in the book of Vayikra. Actually, those of us with really good memories will know that that day was also mentioned back in the book of Shemot, at the very end of the book. So let's backtrack and understand where we are and why we're still here. In the book of Shemot, there are instructions given to build the Mishkan. The reason? Well, there's a functional reason. That is that we need a place to put the Luchot. We're told to build the Mishkan and to put an Aron, and in the Aron the Luchot will be put, and then from there, God will speak to man, specifically to Moshe. Keep that in mind. That's important. At the very end of the book of Shemot, we're told that the Mishkan is completed. And the day that it's completed is the first day of the first month in the second year. That day, Nachshon ben Aminadav, as we're going to learn this week, brought his offering. But that day was again mentioned in another book. It was mentioned in Vayikra. In Vayikra, it's described by Yom HaShmini. If it's the eighth day, how is it the first day of the month? Well, it was the eighth day of the consecration, but not of the offerings. It was the eighth day after it had been completed. And for 7 days, they prepared to get it ready. And we're told what happened on that eighth day. On that eighth day, Aaron is consecrated. On that day, it was Rosh Chodesh, according to our tradition. On that day, Nachshon ben Aminadav brought his offering. On that day, Nadav and Abihu died. So it's interesting that the day is divided in a couple different ways. And finally, in this week's parsha, we're told about the 12 tribes and the 12 heads of the tribes who each bring their offerings. And the first one is Nachshon ben Aminadav, ben again on that same first day. So we had that first day at the end of Shemot. We had that first day in the middle of Vayikra. And we have that first day in the beginning of Bamidbar, a really long day. So it's interesting how the Torah divides up the narrative and tells us about this in different places. In Shemot, the main point is just tell us we're finished, the book of Shemot. We're finished with the story of the Exodus, and the story of the Exodus includes building the Mishkan. That's the end of that story. The book of Vayikra is all about holiness. And in the middle of the book, we're told about what happened on that day when the Mishkan was completed. And we're also told about Nadav and Avihu, who misused the holiness. They weren't afraid of the holiness. They jumped into the holiness. And their deaths were told, and the rest of the details of that day are sort of skimmed over until this week's parsha. This week's parsha is a long parsha. Part of the reason it's long is because each of the 12 days are said in complete detail, what each person, offerings each person brought on those days. But there's a couple other sections which are interesting. We talk about sending away the people who are impure from the camp. The main message there is the camp has holiness, and be careful not to use something which is tamei, impure, in a place of holiness. We're told about people who act in a way which is inappropriate. And again, specifically, we have a case of the Sota, who suspected of improper behavior. And there are the missions that will be used in order to try to prove her innocence. Afterwards, we have the Nazir, a regular person who wants to try to have a higher state of holiness, which is really interesting in terms of the comparison and contrast with Nadav and Avihu, who attempted to act like a Kohen Gadol when they were just a regular Kohen, or regular Kohanim. So it's also this issue of holiness. Finally, we have the blessing of the Kohanim, which is similar to the blessing that Aaron and then later Moshe and Aaron gave to the people on that same day mentioned in Vayikra. And finally, at the very end of the Parsha, we're told something really significant. We're told that from the Mishkan, the voice of God came down from heaven, came into the Mishkan, and communicated to Moshe. Which means the very objective of the mission that we were told all the way back in Shemot finally happens now. In real time, it happens. One could also argue that perhaps that happened at the very beginning of Vayikra, which is when God spoke to Moshe. What we have over here is a narrative which really spans three different books. God reveals different parts of the narrative in different times. Now in Bamidbar, it's not just that it's real time. Now in Bamidbar, we're ready to move on. Now in Bamidbar, we need to learn lessons of holiness, either of excessive holiness, and even a proper way of expressing excessive holiness, like the Nazir, the people who are unholy and therefore need to be careful and stay away from the Mishkan, like the people who are Tamei. And finally, it speaks about the Kohen and how the Kohen can bless the people on a normal daily basis in terms of bringing the holiness from the temple and spreading it throughout, bringing the holiness from heaven and spreading it throughout. And finally, we're told about the Word of God that comes from heaven and comes down to Moshe. With this in line, we now realize that the Mishkan is operational, everything is working, and we're ready to move on.